Your little business is your most important tax shelter. I've said that before. Let's look at some of the things that you can do as a business that you probably can't do as an individual. But remember, whatever you do in your business goes in above the line.
If you want to know if any expenses are tax deductible to your business, the first thing you've got to ask yourself, is the expense ordinary and is it necessary? It's a two-pronged test. When I was a revenue agent, it's the first thing that the IRS taught me regarding the deductibility of expenses. As you know, the tax code is thousands of pages long. It's quite extensive. And you can't sit down and train a brand new revenue agent to know everything that's in that code. But what you can tell them is the simple logic of ordinary and necessary. That's what you need to look for when you're auditing tax returns. I'm often asked, what is ordinary and what is necessary? So let's talk a little bit about that. Something that's ordinary in your business is something that you would expect to see another business do that's in the same type of industry as you. So, for example, it's ordinary for barber shops to have clippers and scissors and chairs and things like that. It's not ordinary for a barbershop to have a Ferrari sitting in their lobby. The next question is, what makes something necessary? The IRS defines that as something that is useful or helpful to your business. It's useful or helpful, it's necessary to your business. Now, I have a good friend who's an ER surgeon, and he called me over the weekend and he said, Ben, I have to take these classes for continuing education to keep my license current. Are those deductible? I'm constantly asked if membership dues or training dues are deductible. And the question I always ask myself is, does the expense qualify the taxpayer for a new trade or business? If the answer is no, but it's required to improve or meet your existing skills, then it's deductible. So if you have courses to keep your license or you take courses that's going to improve your skills, then they're generally deductible. They're not deductible when they qualify you for a new trade or business. So for example, I'm an accountant right now and I want to be like Lee and get a law degree. I go to law school. I can't deduct those because they're qualifying me for a new trade or business.
Ben, I'm not sure a lawyer is either a trade or a business. Most lawyers I know are just a mess. But we still get to deduct a lot of stuff. I don't have a lot of equipment in my law office. I deduct all of that. And then additionally, I get to deduct travel because I'm a speaker and I go around and I speak. That's the way I make some of my money. Ben, tell me about equipment. That's something that an individual can't deduct, but a small business person can deduct. Computers, cell phones, all sorts of stuff.
Expenses that you incur in your business will fall under two categories. Generally, they are either expensed or they are depreciated. The difference has to do with how long you expect that item to last for, and also the purchase price can come into play as well. If it's expected to last a year or more, and it's an expensive item, you generally have to depreciate it. So if you have an item that maybe cost $100, but it's going to last you a couple years, you generally don't have to depreciate that because it's such a small ticket item. Now, if you have a several thousand dollar item that you purchase and it's going to last a couple years, that's something that you need to depreciate. One of the ways that you can lower your tax bill is by accelerating your expenses and decelerating your income, so postponing your income. The Section 179 deduction is an excellent way to accelerate your expenses and lower your current year taxable income. What the 179 deduction does is it allows you to write off equipment at once to expense depreciable assets rather than having to depreciate it over the years. If you bought a $25,000 x-ray machine for your office, you would normally not be able to deduct that amount at once. You'd have to depreciate it out over the class life of the asset. So, if it's a five-year class life, you can only deduct $5,000 each year. What the 179 deduction does is it allows you to write all of that off at once. Now, in the long run, you're going to get the same deduction, whether it's spread out over 5 years or it's 1 year. So if this was not a profitable year for you, it may not be a good idea to take the 179 deduction. It may be better for you to depreciate that out over the next 5 years. I know Lee mentions that there's benefits of a C corporation. You can set up a health reimbursement account, which you can't get in any other entity. Therefore, it's a benefit of having a C corporation. And that's fine, but personally, I've never seen any great benefits to that unless your spouse is sick or you have very expensive co-payments or medical bills throughout the year. Depending on what type of health expenses you have throughout the year, it may not benefit you very much. For example, my family this last year, and I have 3 children, over this past year, we had a child that was born, and I had another child that broke his arm, and we had some medical expenses, but I have insurance. My co-payments were probably between the doctor visits and my child being born. It was about $1,500. Now, in tax savings to me, if I were operating as a C corporation, that may save me, I don't know, maybe $700. And to me, it's just not worth the risk and the extra work of running a C corporation just to get that deduction. Now, my advice is to always have good health insurance, and regardless of what type of entity you're operating as, a partnership, an S corporation, you're still able to deduct those health insurance premiums. In fact, if you look at the front page of your tax return, line 29, there's a deduction above the line deduction that says self-employed health insurance deduction.
So Ben, I'm going to say that there's a difference of about 30 years between me and you. You've just given the view of a 30-something or a 40-something year old with a young family and not a huge amount of excess income. To me, the HRA is a vehicle that I can put money away when I have it and store it in a tax-free environment and then spend it later when I know I'm going to need the medical care. So, for example, a number of years ago, I put a lot of money into an HRA because I had a lot of extra money that I didn't want to pay tax on. Well, my wife, 6 years later, is now very ill, and we are spending that HRA money big time. If I had paid the tax on it and not used the HRA to store it over these years, then we would have paid the tax. I wouldn't have had nearly as much money to spend on the medical expenses now that they're here for me. Additionally, we have a lot of folks who use the money to actually invest with, and that's a perfectly legitimate way to use the excess money in an HRA or even an HSA. In fact, people are being told all the time, set up your HSA, put the money in and invest it so that you have more money in the future for your medical. And the HRA may even be better because, one, you don't need the IRS-approved trustee like you do for the HSA, and two, you can put a much larger amount of money into the HRA in a year when you have excess money. So in your position, writing off the medical insurance and paying for the few medical expenses that your family has probably isn't worth setting up the C corporation, setting up the HRA, and all the rest of it. But somebody who can put $25,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 into the HRA and have that lower their adjusted gross income down to the point where they're not in the exorbitant taxes, then the HRA becomes a very effective tool. And, of course, when you get older, you need to think, what am I going to do for medical when it strikes, because it's going to strike? You haven't worried about that. 30 years of seniority, your views on taxes change, and your views on what I'm going to need to get me through for the medical issues also changes. Now, your business allows you to do lots of things. For example, I have a couple of homes now, and I can get a tax advantage out of simply owning the real estate. If I have a business, and I can link the real estate with the business. Let's look at a specific tax tactic that links the business and the real estate then. This is section 280AG. Yeah, it's an IRS code section, which means it's pretty much in black and white. You can go to your materials and see the entire 280AG printed out there. The one we're interested in is G under A. Basically, that means it's the bottom. It says special rule for certain rental use. Notwithstanding any other provision of this section or section 183, if a dwelling unit is used during the taxable year by the taxpayer as a residence, and such dwelling is actually rented for less than 15 days during the taxable year, then 1. No deduction otherwise allowable under this chapter because of the rental use of such dwelling units shall be allowed. So everything else is gone. And here's the good part. The income derived from such use for the taxable year shall not be included in the gross income of the taxpayer under Section 61. Now, let's go back and look at this for just a second. What's a dwelling unit used by the taxpayer as a residence? Well, that's your house. It doesn't have to be your principal residence. It could be a second home, summer vacation home, beach house. And you're going to rent this for less than 15 days a year. How many days during the year can you rent it? 14. 2 weeks. You rent it 15, you toast. But if you only rent it for 14, any income that you receive for the rental of that residence is tax-free. It doesn't go into your AGI, adjusted gross income. You don't report it. It's just not reported. Not 1099, not nothing. Let me give you a little history of this law. In High Point, North Carolina, there's a big convention held every year. It's the furniture market. All of the furniture manufacturers get together and they have a big show. For years, High Point, North Carolina was the big show. There aren't that many hotels in High Point, North Carolina. Hundreds of thousands of people converge on High Point, North Carolina. Where are you going to house them? So the representatives, the congressmen from North Carolina got together and passed a law which said, okay, rent your house for no more than 14 days, and any rent that you get is tax-free. Does that encourage people in High Point, North Carolina to rent their house to all of these people who come for the furniture market? Of course it does. Actually, technically, they still have it in High Point, North Carolina, but the big one is in Vegas, and they take all of Las Vegas up for this furniture show. But the law still exists, and it still applies to you. So here's what you do. When you go on vacation, you put an ad in the newspaper or on Craigslist or whatever it is, and you rent your house while you're gone on vacation. And then any income that you get is tax-free. And you just said, Phillips, you're nuts. I'm not renting my house out for 2 weeks to some idiot while I go on vacation. I come home, the place is going to be trashed. Okay, I'll give you that. So here's what you do. You have a little business. I have a business. And in my business, I associate with people all over the United States, my colleagues. Well, when my colleagues come to visit me, what I do is I make sure that they stay at my house, not the local hotel, and I entertain them, I feed them, I take good care of them. And actually, I have a place on the number one beach in the United States. And I have people come visit me there all the time, and we talk business. Actually, I do a lot of business there. So, what I do is I charge these people for me to feed them, to room them, everything else, conference, everything. And they willingly pay that, right? I don't think so. But I do have colleagues in, and I do rent out the beach house while they are there. Who pays the rent? My company pays the rent. This is a company expense. I am entertaining a colleague, and I can point to a lot of business that has come from the visits that people have paid me at my beach house. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business. So when my company pays for my house on the beach, it's an expense to the company. Now 280AG says that comes to me tax-free. Can you see what just happened? Maybe you don't have colleagues come. Maybe you just have your office personnel. You're a doctor, okay? You've got your nurses and you've got your accounting people and all of that sort of stuff. So 3 or 4 times a year, I think you should have a retreat at your house. It could even be on a Saturday. And all of your employees should come and you should discuss your business. You charge your company for renting your residence for this retreat. The big movie stars, they rent their houses for $250,000 a day, and they do an infomercial or they do part of a movie or something in the house. So do you think that you could shoot your next YouTube video in the house and spend the day and advertise for your business with this video and charge the company for renting the residence to shoot the video? I think so. But you got to remember, it's a deduction to the company and it's tax-free to you. Your accountant may have never heard of this, but he's certainly going to read the tax code and figure out, yep, it's there in black and white, boys. He can do all the research he wants. The only thing he's going to say is, hey, you got to take a reasonable amount for the rent. Okay, take a reasonable rent. But if you're reasonable, the IRS is never going to question it.
When you're determining reasonable rent, you've really got to sit back and look at the whole picture and think, okay, if I were to market this on Craigslist or the local newspaper, what would somebody rent this for? I doubt you'll find anyone that wants to rent your home for $5,000 a day for a corporate meeting unless you have a really, really nice home and you're offering some great food. And you'll have an extremely difficult time convincing the IRS agent.
You're right, Ben. You have to be reasonable in the rent. But this is a good IRS code section that a small businessman can use and can get some of the money out of his company tax-free.